One thing that unites our readings today, a theme and for our psalm, is forgiveness. It's been said by a Christian that if you want to be most like God, it's to forgive. From our second reading today, Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 8, for none of us lives to himself or dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord's. Today we'll think about forgiveness and belonging to the Lord and how the Lord belongs to us. But I'll start with just a mundane task that often happens to me, really a mistake in life. Have you ever lost or misplaced a receipt that you needed or you can't find, like at the dry cleaner? I know I often do. And losing receipts can make matters difficult, especially when something goes wrong and you need that receipt back. And oftentimes it's that receipt you can't find. Our second reading today reminds us that as Christians, we belong to the Lord, and Scripture is, as you will, a receipt to us of that. We keep it, we cherish it. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And while we might lose that sometimes, the word of the Lord endures forever. That receipt remains. No matter what, whether we have lost receipt even sometimes or failed to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, or whether we become lost in our own ways, the way of Jesus remains. And we believe in the way of Jesus, who suffered and died and rose again. This way of Jesus is the way of forgiveness and life. This last truth of belonging to the Lord forever is good to keep in mind as we look at our Old Testament reading then today. So I want to focus on a little bit more the story of Joseph, Genesis chapter 50. We might call it the forgiveness of Joseph. Joseph and Joseph's brother, they belong to the Lord forever. We know this in the big picture of Scripture. God actually reveals himself as Exodus, as the God of Jacob. And the God of Jacob is the God of the sons of Jacob. And we are sons of Jacob by faith in Jesus. Yet much worse than losing a receipt, these brothers and Joseph, they lose each other. And even when brothers are found back together again, is what we have in our reading, they wonder if they're still lost. And if you look closely in that reading, you see yearnings and you see worries about being lost. Our reading from Genesis chapter 50 is the end of the story of Joseph. It's the end of the book of Genesis. Starts at creation and ends with getting ready for the Exodus. We can see the big picture here of God's protection and forgiveness in the wonderful story of Joseph. He even made it to Broadway, right? Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Yet the reality and the loss of real life is there too. Joseph's brothers lose sight of the big picture of God's protection and forgiveness. And if we back up a bit, because there's a lot of backstory, and there usually is in life too, right? Joseph is one of 12 brothers. Their father is Jacob. Jacob is the one who's given the name Israel because he wrestles with God. To strive with God is what it means. And the 12 sons strive with God too, like father, like son. Jacob forms his sons, those 12 tribes, and the rest of the story, well, that's messy. Jacob, the father, has now finally died, the patriarch. Genesis chapter 50, the last chapter of the book. And now that Jacob is dead, of such a large family, Joseph's brothers are worried that once father is gone, Joseph will now truly remember what he received from his brothers, and he will keep the receipt, and he will pay evil for evil. And what is this transgression? Well, we remember, right? It's pretty bad. It's real bad. So bad that now dad is dead. Joseph's brothers probably rightly fear the worst. Maybe when dad's alive, it'll keep things in check. What's more, Joseph is now ruler in Egypt, and he's a powerful figure. He can do what he wants. He can break his brothers. He can demand receipt for sin. And what can he demand back, right? Joseph was sold into slavery into Egypt by his own family. Well, it's worse than that, right? They actually first want to murder their brother Joseph. One doesn't want to, but he's overpowered. They decide, though, instead of murdering Joseph, they'll make some money on their brother, and they will sell him into slavery, human trafficking. The Joseph's brothers then do this, and they take the money, and they lie to their father and tell him Joseph, the favorite son, was killed by some ferocious wild animal. They make their father grieve in his old age. And when it comes to Joseph's brothers, the old saying is true. Who needs enemies with friends or families like these? Joseph is sold into slavery in Egypt. But the story, right, is God's providence. He eventually becomes second in command. He eventually becomes the goodness of God in Egypt. Through the wisdom of God, he delivers Egypt from famine. He saves enough food for everyone from prison to the palace. Now his brothers, who also have famine, have to come and beg to Egypt for food, and they end up before Joseph. Lo and behold, they don't know who he is, but they now have to kneel down before a foreign power and ask for food for them, and especially for Dad, who never really got his heart back together after losing Joseph. And Joseph's brothers, the one who tried to kill him and sell him into slavery, begged Joseph for food, for life. Don't know it's him. And there's a wonderful scene in Genesis chapter 45 where Joseph reveals himself to his begging brothers. He clears the room. He comes up to them, this God of Egypt, and embraces them and cries. No great powerful figure would do that. Isn't that what Jesus does at the death of his friend? I am your brother Joseph, he says, the one you sold into Egypt. Don't be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves. That's what he says, actually. Don't be angry with yourselves. God sent me here to save many lives, including you. It was not you that sent me here, but God. Joseph understood and took to heart that whether he lived or died, he somehow belonged to the Lord and the Lord's plans in his life, plans to prosper him. God had brought him back as an extra blessing to his brothers. Joseph probably didn't even see that one coming. And Joseph forgives and restores the relationship with his brothers. And instead of paying them evil for evil and sin for sin, he repays them goodness for sin and forgiveness for evil. And now, five chapters later, after the family has resettled in Egypt and they're all okay, Jacob has died. Jacob, who was reunited with his lost son in happiness for his final days, and Joseph's brothers now fear the worst. They'll finally get even with him, this Joseph. What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer? As Christians, we pray it all the time. What does Jesus, our brother, teach us to pray? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive the trespasses of those who sin against us. And while forgiveness with God, of course, is instantaneous, our psalm puts it, sin is removed as far as the east from the west. For those closest to us, and in this life often, for enemies or you name it, this can take some time. Healing is not necessarily instantaneous. And every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray that our forgiveness of others will be hopefully as fast and clear as God's forgiveness of us. And we know it takes time. Jacob has died, his brothers are now afraid that Jacob will, the son of Jacob, Joseph, will turn them in. And instead in our reading, right, once and for all, Joseph assures his brothers of his kindness. Joseph gets the last word, if you will, in Genesis, and he says in our Old Testament reading today, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassures them and he speaks kindly to them. I learned this story a long time ago as a kid. I've treasured this story of Joseph. I liked it on Broadway. I like it every time I encounter it on Scripture. But I'm struck in reading it, hopefully as I get a little wiser, is that Joseph here actually, in his words, acknowledges the pain. He says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." Joseph was hurt by what his brothers did. He was human, but he knew it was part of a larger plan to turn what was bad into something good. He knew that ultimately he belonged to the Lord, and he still was kind and compassionate. There is, of course, another son of Jacob, right? A descendant of Jacob. He's in the Bible too. Probably know who I'm talking about. Think about it. He's sold into slavery by his own brother, the one he trusted. On the night when he was betrayed, he takes bread. He shares a meal of forgiveness with his brothers, who he knows soon will abandon him for death. And on the cross, Jesus remembers a criminal and gives his life for the sins of the world. And in and through Jesus Christ, this descendant of Joseph, God's own son, our heavenly father, forgives trespasses, teaches us to forgive the trespasses of others. And in the cross and salvation of Jesus, what was meant for harm, God intended for good, as the Joseph story, to accomplish the salvation of the world, to forgive the sins of the world through Jesus Christ. And God, our Heavenly Father, doesn't stop there. He provides us with the Holy Spirit who burns in our hearts and assures us of the forgiveness and the presence of Jesus in our lives forever, and teaches us to pray, "Forgive others as we are forgiven." Because whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. This is the truth that Joseph lived. It's the truth that is ours in and through Jesus Christ, who forgives and teaches to forgive. This story of Joseph has been handed down to us as Christians, centuries, to remember the mercy, the loving kindness of God. We're not our own. We belong to the Lord. The story of Joseph reminds us of the importance of forgiveness. "This is easier said than done. Chief of sinners though I be," we'll sing it soon, "there's always someone else ahead of me." Or so we might think. And so we learn and relearn the story of Joseph. It's worth reflecting on. And once again, we pray and re-pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive the sins of those who trespass against us." Like with Joseph's brothers, forgiving and realizing forgiveness takes time. Think of all those years, all those chapters in Genesis. Healing needs time sometimes, and humility and patience. The Joseph story is an opportunity to address family dysfunction, failure, resentment, it's all there. To address all of it with the forgiveness of Jesus. After all, we belong to the forgiveness of the Lord. Amen.